Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, good evening and welcome to Facebook Live. We're Oikos Ministries. I'm your host, Terrell Hebert, and we are going through the book of Ephesians. We missed last week due to a storm-related power outage, but here we are back in the saddle and we're ready to get going. Tonight we're going to wrap up the book of Ephesians. We're on part two of what we call the two-part of spiritual warfare from Ephesians chapter 6. Now, if you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up and stay with this, you could go to our website at www.housechurchesusa.com and just go to the audio section and just peruse through there. We have podcasts. We have all kind of ways that you can either view it. I think we're on Rumble now. We're on all kind of avenues that you can check this out. And so please tell you what, a couple of things. You could follow us on our website or on our Facebook page, and you could also check on our website pretty regular. Just become part of what we do. So we welcome you. We're grateful for your viewership, and there's many people are hearing these messages, and it's getting out there. We're just grateful for it. So tonight, without further ado, I want to read the thing in context. We're in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through. We'll read it all the way through the end. "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which is with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, love with faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Now, we've covered, and particularly verses 10 through 13 on our last teaching. I don't want to go back over there, but it does say, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And that was really what we tried to focus on, being strong in the Lord and in God's power. And the fact that we have to awaken to the idea that we are in a spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We cannot fight this thing with physicality without carnal means and military type weaponry. It just will not work. We are battling against principalities and powers. These are invisible created entities. They're the driving force behind official thrones and governments and these type of things. Matter of fact, every institution of power literally has some principality, power, might, dominion behind that thing that makes it. And it literally, God created it for Himself, by Jesus and for Jesus. It's for His purposes. And we see that the wicked one has usurped these thrones, dominions, and powers, and have perverted them to the point now that they call good evil and evil good. And it's just where we are in our generation. So this was our last week's teaching, or last time we're together. This was our teaching. We're in a demonic war. We are fighting demonic entities that have usurped godly creations. and that we have to be awakened to the fact that if we're going to win any warfares here on earth, we're going to first win them in the spiritual arena. And if we don't see that, we're just not going to war there. If we can't see that, if we're so focused on the temporal, we're not going to see the eternal. If we're so focused on the natural, we're not going to see the spiritual. And so it's time to open our eyes to the spiritual things that are going around us and understand the driving force behind why we see violence and murder in our streets, why we see perversion to the degrees we see, why we see there is spiritual driving forces behind these. And if we can see them and begin to pray in the realm of the heavenlies and see these demonic powers exposed, driven back, cast out, broken, then we can see people set free. We'll see our gospel become very effective at that time. So we need to awaken to it. So he says, put on that. Therefore, take up the whole armor, the panoplia, all the armor of God. And I wanted to revisit that thought. The whole armor of God, that you am able to withstand in that evil day, that you may be able to withstand and fight against this. And then having done all, to stand. And so we do the part that God commands us to do, and then we stand. And he says, stand therefore, and this we gets into tonight's teaching, stand therefore, having girded your waist or your loins girded with truth. Now, the simplicity of they're using analogies here. And the Jewish people believed that the loins were the generative power where our reproductive organs are, that this is where there was a power of regeneration there. But he says, put our loins girt about with truth. And if you think about it, if we're regenerating, or if we're generating the next group of believers, even if you would, that if we're false, if we're in a lie, if we believe lies, what terrible things that will be passed on in that. So he says, gird your loins with truth. And look, we're in the middle, I believe, of a great falling away. We're in a spiritual apostasy. And falling away doesn't necessarily mean you've left church, but what it does mean is you've left truth. And many are falling away from the truth. As a matter of fact, the biblical illiteracy of our generation proves that we are already in an apostasy. We place no value on the Word of God, or very little value. And we may give lip service to it, but we give no attention to it. We see very few people who get to their Bibles and literally saturate your life in the Word of God. We're just very few people are doing such a thing now. And what are we supposed to do? How are we going to win any warfare? What kind of an army is that flimsily prepared if we don't have truth? Now, truth is not just a set of values and principles. Truth is that which agrees with final reality. There are many things today that are real but not true. As a matter of fact, lies are real, but they're not true. So that's an obvious low-hanging fruit. But the fact is that if we can't see and perceive that there are realities today that are not truth, the evening news is reality, mostly not true. What we hear on social media, Facebook, media outlets have been totally overcome with demonization and literally are mouthpiece with the flooding the earth with lies. They're real, not true. We have to begin to recognize this. The trends of our generation, very real. It's real that people have gender confusion. It's real that people have sexual perversion. It's real that people are in drugs and alcohol and really messed up lives. It's real, but there's no truth behind these realities. They're duped by a lie and driven by fears. And we have to begin to recognize such a thing. Have your loins girt about with truth. All right, having on a breastplate of righteousness, that when the breastplate is literally what covers the vital organs of life, the heart, the lungs, all that from neck to navel, basically where the rib cage ends, this would have been what's called the thorax. I remember that in dealing with insects, the thorax. But literally, it's this portion of the body having on the breastplate of righteousness. So again, we're using analogies. The issue is not so much let's pretend to put on our armor. It's literally, is your heart Is your vitals, your heart, your lungs, are they covered with the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus? For God has made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. So God made Jesus to become sin for us, because cursed is he who hangs on a tree. Him who knew no sin was made to become sin for us, that we, and I'm ad-libbing here a little bit, we who knew no righteousness were made to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so now, through the grace of God, his righteousness indwells us, and we live in a righteous manner. We have an equity of character, that there is literally a quality of character that comes that is compatible with or equitable to the character of that was in Christ Jesus as he walked the earth. We should live, a great pattern would be the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those meek. And we could go on to the nine characteristics of the Beatitudes. But look, when we begin to look through this and say, okay, let's have the breastplate of righteousness. Folks, if there are chinks in this kind of armor, if in your heart and in your vitals of life, that, you know, the vitality, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Our heart pumps blood throughout our whole body. But the lungs provide oxygen. So oxygenated blood going throughout every extremity is the health to our flesh. This is what is life to the physical body. But folks, if we have chinks in our armor and that has been nicked, that has been cut, or, you know, has been wounded, if you would, then we're not getting the life flow to the extremities of our life. And little by little, the wicked one would take blows after that, and we're not getting the life flow we need in our body. Keep going. He said, our loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the feet, of course, that's no mystery. It means the base or the foundation of the whole human life and our walk. And so the feet represent that which carries us, that makes us to stand. And he says, have them prepared, or have them shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that literally it's undergirded in our feet. They're covered with the gospel of peace. Now, I want to tell you something. This becomes both a defensive and an offensive weapon. When you and I are shod with the gospel of peace, when we're carrying the gospel everywhere we go, I believe it puts the devil on defense. It puts us on offensive. The fact is that so many today fail to carry the gospel anywhere. When we refuse or when we become inconsistent or even it just non-existent that we're sharing the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, that's the gospel of peace, and the word of our testimony, when we cease to do that, then the Holy Spirit's grieved in our lives. And I want to tell you right now, we begin to have a chip in the armor. Folks, we have to, look, start simple. Get this recovery here. Prepare yourself that as I walk, I'm going to share my testimony with someone every day. I'm going to make a way to share what Jesus Christ has done with me, how he saved my life, how he saved my soul, how he redeemed me, what the cross did to impact my life. Folks, please, we have to speak this. This puts the devil on his heels, and it puts him playing defense and us on the offensive. I believe this is a wonderful weaponry, and, you know, we should consider how beautiful are the feet that upon the mountains who carry the gospel. How beautiful are the feet who publish peace, who published the gospel of peace, that God considers it very few. Yeah, look, and we know feet some nasty looking things, but I'm going to tell you right now, when they're carrying the gospel, it could get no prettier. It's the most beautiful thing there is when someone carries the gospel to a lost soul and sees them recover from the snare of the devil. That's a beautiful thing. And we should begin to look at this is the armor of God. Look, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will receive power and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Folks, the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we would be empowered as witnesses. We could carry out this great commission and be effective witnesses that as we speak the gospel, folks will be moved by it. They will be convicted by it. They'll be drawn to Jesus by it. If we begin to, or if we cease carrying that gospel, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit will grieve and we will lose all power. And all we'll try to do is maybe talk somebody into going to church or some silliness of that. We need to share the gospel. Amen. So the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now that word shield is the same word for door. It's a very large protective body covering that was kept out in front that would absorb anything thrown at the warrior there. And above all, it's called the shield of faith. Now, folks, if our faith isn't what's in front of us, protecting us from everything thrown at us, then we're just not going to be an effective warrior. If every time a dart comes, if every time a fiery dart, everything the wicked one throws at us, literally finds a way and hits a mark in us, literally we'll see the death by a thousand cuts. We have to renew our faith here, folks. I want to tell you, there's three ways of having faith. Number one, it's a gift of God. Number two, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. Number three, that we are to build up our most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. And so praying in the Spirit builds faith. Folks, we have got to get back to faith in God. We can become so absorbed in the religious patterns, we cease to have faith. We can become faithful and not have faith for the moment. Folks, the fiery darts come at us, and we should be, you know, if you've ever seen those military and police type trainings where shoot, don't shoot, the thing pops up and you're either to shoot or not, you have to discern quickly. We have to get on guard, folks, and know what's being thrown at us, whether to protect or go forward. We should have the shield of faith. Folks, somebody needs to begin to believe. We need to drive that unbelief out of ourselves and get back in the Word of God. God gave you faith at one time. Now, stir up your faith. It's time to literally get in the Word of God, build your faith, pray it in the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, pray in the Spirit, and build your faith. Amen? And so, he says, the helmet of salvation. Folks, this is a surrounding covering for the head. And that head, our head, where the brain power, the place of reason, the place of literally where we process thought, we have to have that covered with the knowledge that we are saved. Folks, we have to erase all doubt and know that we know that we know. When the wicked one came to Jesus, he said, if you be the Son of God. God had just called him his son. He tried to undermine it. If you be the Son of God, casting doubt, undermining, it's just what he does. The devil always tries to undermine the Word of God. He said when three times he visited Jesus this way. And I want to tell you, folks, that we have to be on guard and understand. We have to know. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, he says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. If you don't have those assurances that life eternal dwells in you, you better settle this between you and God. You better know beyond a shadow of a doubt, or you're not going to stand. The devil will take your mind. I'll tell you right, he'll roll your mind around in your, I mean, he's a master. He's been thinking way longer than we have. We're just new to this thinking game. And he'll get in your head, he'll mess you up, and he'll tell you lies, make you afraid, and literally confuse you, and boy, you're a whipped person. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me tell you what, you might have your Bible, know your Bible, but I'll tell you, unless the Bible is being used by the Holy Ghost, you know, I'm not going to say it's a total waste. It is God's Word, I want to tell you. But the Word of God is eternal, it's quick, it's powerful, it's living, all that. But coming from me and you, I want to tell you right now, there are people who are so unanointed, so far from God. The devil quoted scripture. Do you think it was effective? He quoted, hey, if you be the son, it is written. It is written. He shall give his angels charge over you, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. The devil can use the Bible just like anybody. The devil believes and trembles, but the devil ain't saved, and the devil's going to try to mess your mind up. So again, we have to get to the issue. It's the sword of the Spirit. You want to go on offense, you get full of the Holy Ghost and begin to quote God's Word, speak God's Word, and the anointing of the Spirit of God. When that anointed Word is preached, I want to tell you right now, there ain't no devil anywhere standing against it. One shall chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. How is it? Because the Lord had sold them out and the rock had shut them out. I'm going to tell you, we are victors in this thing when we are fully dressed in the panoply of the whole armor of God. Now, I want to tell you, if we can't see it, that we're in a spiritual conquest here. We're in a battle. And there's a battle raging for your souls. And I want to tell you something, people. Folks die in battle. Folks are injured, mortally wounded. Folks get life, terrible life debilitating injuries in war. It's a horrible thing. War is horrible. And I want to tell you, there's some things I believe emphatically, and I had no answer for them for years. I just could not understand. If I pray for healing, why wouldn't someone heal? People got sick. People died. I would say, why wouldn't they get healed? We're in a war. I have no other answer. We're in a war, and people die in war. And I hear them. I hear you rumblers, and they say, oh, you're not speaking faith. Shut up. I am too. You better speak reality and this business of, well, they didn't have faith to believe. You just shut up. This baloney. I tell you, so many people fostering these false beliefs about healing and this and that. I believe in divine healing. I believe that healing's in the atonement. I believe that the blood of Jesus heals everything. He forgives everything. Now, let me tell you something and emphatically tell you that I believe that the blood of Jesus will cover and cleanse you from sin, but not everybody gets covered and cleansed from sin. But I'm going to keep preaching salvation, and I don't care if another soul ever gets saved, I'll preach that salvation. And it's the same enthusiasm I'll preach divine healing. If another person never gets healed, I'm going to continue to preach divine healing. You know why? We're in a war. We're in a war. You better know we're in one, and you better fight like you want to win. It's time for somebody to get the Holy Ghost in them and fight like a warrior. Joshua, the man of God, was ordained to fight. I want to tell you right now, you go to Joshua chapter 1 in that great book of Joshua, way in the book. You got to understand something about the Old Testament here. Again, the Old Testament is types and shadows. Now, Joshua was going to be the replacement for Moses as Moses was dying. He could not go into the promised land because he disobeyed the Lord. God wouldn't let him in the promised land. Simple as that. You say, wow, that's pretty strong. Well, we're in a war. And the bottom line is this. There are consequences, especially when you make mistakes in these battles. Folks, hear me carefully. The Lord commanded Joshua to take his people into the promised land. The old covenant was focaled around this, that God's people were in bondage to the devil. He set them free through a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He did great signs and wonders, and 10 plagues fell on Egypt. And then he finally, through the blood of the Passover lamb, he led his people out through the Red Sea. They were all baptized in the Red Sea. They went into the wilderness and they sinned in the wilderness. And for 40 years, they walked in the wilderness. It's a picture of the temporal life, living out the fullness of your years, walking, not having received the promise, but the promise is just right beyond your reach. And so the promised land, Israel, this was the big promised land of the old covenant. That is not the New Testament promise. It is not what we're looking at. The picture in the New Testament is that we are in the same predicament. You and I were in bondage and slavery to sin. We were under the slavery of the devil. He was our Pharaoh. And then God, through the mighty blood of Jesus, through the outstretched arm of God's right hand, He pulled us out of our sin. He saved us. He redeemed us. He baptized us into Himself Oh, hallelujah. He came into us and we're in him in the new covenant by the blood of his cross. We are saved, clean. And now here we are walking in this temporal existence in this world. It's not our promise. This isn't the promised land. We're passing through. We're waiting for the promise of the reality of the eternity that we will live in with a new heaven and a new earth where we will dwell forever in righteousness. Oh, come on. Somebody ought to see this picture. Now, Joshua is our example. Now, he's also the same name for Jesus. If you get down to it, Yeshua. And when we get into this in chapter 1 of Joshua, verse 9, I want you to see this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, I like this. Isn't it amazing when God shows up, he always says, fear not. Some of the scariest stuff you ever saw in your life shows up and he says, don't fear. Well, wait, I'm scarier of you than what I was scared of before. This is scary. Fear not. You understand there's so many things that puts the human heart and mind into the excitement of flight or fright and flight. We get afraid. We want to run. We cower down. He said, have I not commanded you? The commandment of God, he said, I'm commanding you to be strong and of a good courage. What did he tell us in Ephesians? Be strong in the Lord. This isn't in your own physicality. This isn't in your own age or lack of age, elderly, youth. I don't care what you're. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are no match for the devil one-on-one. We're just not. Let me tell you, this Joshua was a fighter. The Bible says the captain of the Lord's host, y'all know who that is? Jesus showed up, and Joshua with a drawn sword said, are you for us or against us? He didn't know who he was talking to. Can you imagine? This guy was running to the battle. This guy told the moon, stand still. Sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. I ain't through whipping these Amorites. And it did. A whole day without movement. Can you imagine? Sorry, folks. These allergies are getting to my throat here. You don't see that often on television. There we go. So when we see the strength of Joshua. He was a warrior in his heart, in his soul. He was a warrior. We have to get that kind of fight inside of us if we're going to. We're going to inherit a promise on the other side. I think we're fighting like there ain't a problem. It's just, oh, well, whatever. We're just no enthusiasm, no strength, no excitement to run to the battle. Where is that fire in our bone? Where is it that we discipline ourselves like good soldiers to fight the good fight of faith? Be strong and of a good courage. Have I not commanded you? Y'all, when the word of God begins to command, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do not be afraid. And here we are in a generation where men's hearts are failing for fear. Church folks are so afraid. We're afraid of everything. We turn on the stupid weather channel and they show these images of red. Oh, it's red! And we think the whole world is fixing to fall. It's a rainstorm! Cancel school! Shut the government down! Call in the buses! Get our kids home! It's going to rain. Dear Lord, help me. What have we done? We're so afraid. Well, what if? Well, what if? Whew, I can't even get over it. We're canceling the whole world. We're just going to cancel it. I'm not. go about my business until it actually rains, or until something actually starts falling down around me. And I said, well, I better go inside now. All right. I think I could figure that out. Help me, Jesus. It just, and literally, folks, it's just like all the weatherman does is paint little pictures. Red, yellow, green. It's a purple one. Oh, God, it's purple. Let's go buy every loaf of bread at Walmart. Be strong. Have I not commanded you to run to Walmart and buy 10 loaves of bread because it's going to rain? No, he never said such a thing. Be strong and of a good courage. When does the Word of God ever actually do something inside of us that settles these crazy imagined fears of ours? They're imagined. And the TV is working, it's like a $3 fiddle. Better put a mask on, you'll die of COVID. Lord, help us. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed. You know what dismay is? It's a shattered life. We've lived in fear for so long, our lives have fallen apart. Folks, please. Joshua was commanded. Now, Joshua was a warrior. I mean, he's a man who was ordained, anointed to kill people. He could literally fight with anybody. And God commanded him, be strong and of a good. It could happen to any of us that fear could get in our heart and mind. But you see, fear is the opposite of faith, folks. But we don't feed our faith. See, there's a voice of faith inside of us that says within ourselves, I am well able because God is with me. I couldn't do this at all. I couldn't even fight my way out of a wet paper bag, but God is with me. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for I am with you. And here's the assurance to say, stand your ground. Having done all to stand, stand. Stand in the power of His might. Stand. We are well able to take the land. I wish somebody could see this. Get this in your spirit. I wish somebody had the voice of faith speaking inside. But if you're not nurturing and feeding that word of faith inside of you, if you're not feeding that part of you by the word of God, then you're going to succumb to your deepest fears. Go back with me to the book of Luke in chapter 11. We're in a warfare. In verse 14 of chapter 11. Now, I covered some of this when we were dealing with strongholds. And I want to tell you, the reason I'm shortening this teaching tonight, I could go on for weeks and weeks, literally for weeks over this subject. It's a huge subject. But the fact is that we just recently taught on strongholds. It's on our website. You can go to that, look that up, and listen to that entire series of pulling down strongholds. And it's really, I don't want to be redundant. We just went through this stuff just recently. So I'm just going to refer you to those teachings. If you'd like to hear them, they're on our website. Go there. But I want to read this tonight. In verse 14 of chapter 11, Luke 11, he was casting out a demon and it was mute. So it was when the demon was gone out that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Now stop there just for a second, because here's a big picture of a principality, power, might. Here's a breakdown. Beelzebub was the ruler of demons, okay? So it's a literal entity, a general in a demonic army. Most of us, you and I, will never encounter actual Beelzebub. But somewhere in his ranks, something has been dispatched against you to try to knock you off your the God-given path you're on. And so we have to recognize the fact that Beelzebub is in charge of demons. Now, demons, the spiritual wickedness in high places, wicked spirits in high places, you put it that way, it's a little bit more easy to grasp in your heart and mind, that the fact that there are demon spirits that would try to plague you. And I know there's all kind of thoughts out there. Well, the devil can't do me nothing. Well, when I get through with this teaching, maybe you'll rethink that. Let's go through it. Watch carefully. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. Now, let me just halt right there. I want to tell you something. Have you ever known that evil always walks in lockstep? There is such a unity in the forces of evil, they all agree in one. Try that among righteous folks. Get 10 righteous men in a room, and you will have 10 different opinions that go 10 different ways. Have you ever noticed? And look, I'm not trying to politicize what I'm fixing to say here, but I want to tell you right now, the Democrat Party is literally standing for everything evil that you could dream of. Now, let me just emphatically tell you, I ain't a Trump fan. I ain't a Republican. I am a nun, not a Catholic nun. I am a N-O-N-E nun. None. I have no party affiliation. But the Democrat Party has literally taken God out of their platform and stand for everything the Bible is against. They're for it. And they're against everything the Bible's for. Those rascals never break ranks. But try to get a righteous bill through on the Republican conservative side, and that thing ain't gonna happen. Why? Because anything that sounds for good, you can't get a coalition around it. This world is so fallen. If your hope is in, if Donald Trump can get elected in 2024, it's going to be bliss. No, it won't. Donald Trump will just get elected and it'll be 4 more years of media attacks and trials and juries and nothing happening. We might get another lockdown and another vaccine. There's my take on it. So I don't want to politicize it, but there it is. Evil seems to always walk in lockstep. But get on the righteous side. And we're scattered in 100. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, after that, in chapter 12 of Daniel, it says, after that he has accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things will be accomplished. You see, there's no unity, there's no cohesiveness among God's holy people. Matter of fact, there's very few holy people left. All claim to be saved, nobody's holy. A future saved. So, watch carefully. Jesus said, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, same story. He said, if I cast out demons with the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And understanding it in that light, when we say thy kingdom come, we're literally saying Holy Spirit come. Okay. So the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit is the presence of kingdom come. Okay. So Holy Spirit is kingdom come. Get that in your spirit. If I cast out devils with the Spirit of God or with the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Now watch carefully. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Do what? Well, that couldn't happen to a child of God. You better hold on before you spout that theology to me. Listen carefully. Look what Jesus said in verse 23. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Why would he throw that in there? Wait a minute. If we've taken the preparation of the gospel of peace off, if we just sit quietly, if I just don't say nothing, if I just remain neutral, let me tell you what that strategy is. That's called scattering. If you're not actively gathering, you are passively or aggressively scattering. Your lifestyle of neutrality of I'm going to zip my lips so the devil won't attack me. I'm going to be quiet so nobody will not like me. I want everybody to like me so I won't say nothing. I won't be offended. I don't be offensive. I need to be woke about this. When you take that posture, you are sending a loud and clear message that I will not gather souls to this kingdom. So you're a scatterer. You're working for the devil at that point. Well, no, I'm just a nice person. I just sit here. Exactly. Dead weight, excess baggage. Be the first thing we throw off the plane or the ship. Well, what good are you? Well, I just sit here. I like to just sit here. You occupy a place in God's kingdom and do nothing? Wow, how could we neglect the commandments of God? Go ye therefore. How can we neglect such a commandment? How can we neglect so great a salvation and just adopt a strategy of neutrality? Keep reading. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Now, who's he talking about here? A person got delivered. An unclean spirit went out of him. Jesus cast out unclean spirits out of people all the time. Now, let me just clear this up. An unclean spirit could have adopted could have come from four different ways. Number one, you could become a ceremony unclean, an unclean demon would have this characteristic. Number one, it could be in food. The dietary laws of the Jews could have made a person unclean. And that could have been where they are breaking the law through gluttony, overeating, or even on the other side of it, bulimia, anorexia, all this kind of stuff, that we could have an unclean spirit through our perversion of our relationship with food. Good way to say it. Number two, we could have an unclean spirit through sexual reproduction organs. That literally we could find when we have perverted our sexuality through gender confusion, through fornication, homosexuality, lesbian. We could go on and we could go on and on and on. You can get an unclean spirit driving that. Okay? Thirdly, anything in association and touching the dead. I want to tell you something, all you Halloween participants. That kind of situation right there can bring demons into your home. Oh, it's just a game for the children. Okay, that's how you start that. Go ahead and get you a demon. You wonder what's wrong with your kid? Let's start there. Let's start with Mardi Gras. Let's start with Halloween. Let's start with all these South Louisiana voodoo type traditions that we are all in for. We are literally... We're a little barbaric here in Louisiana. We're crazy. Well, it's just a parade for the children. No, it ain't. It's a celebration for demon gods. That can give you an unclean demon. And finally, leprosy was a means of uncleanness, and it was literally the figure or the picture of sin, that we are just unclean, dirty sinners. Okay? Now, those four arenas. So when Jesus was casting out unclean spirit, you can absolutely be assured at some point Jesus cast a homosexual spirit out or a lesbian spirit. You can bet on it. Or a sickness and disease, we know those are clarity. But he would just sometimes just call it an unclean spirit went out of him. But it was something that made that person ceremonially unclean. So, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places. Who goes through dry places seeking rest? The demon, the unclean spirit, goes to find him another place. And he comes back to the person. Look, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Well, who's he talking? He's talking about a person who had deliverance. The demon left him. What happened? What went wrong? Would you go back up to verse 22, 21, when a strong man, fully armed, the full armor of God, the panoplia, fully armed, keeps his palace or guards his own palace. His goods are in peace. But when a stronger than him comes upon him, you say, well, you're saying the demons are stronger than the Holy Ghost? No, not saying that at all. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But when you have some secret hidden lust, when you begin to say, I want this and I want that, and you begin to compromise your life, you're taking your own armor off. And the more exposure you have, you're going to begin to feel the fiery dart. You're going to feel the cuts. You're going to be the death by a thousand cuts. Little by little by little, all of a sudden, you're back where you started from. I'll return to my house from which I came. Look what it says. Look what it says. He said, but when a stronger than he comes from upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted. At some point, you lose all strength and the devil himself will take away your armor. Well, that's not possible. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. It says it right there. Read your Bible and absolutely shiver and shudder at how defenseless you've become in this war. That's why when a person gets re-demonized, the demon comes back in, brings seven spirits worse than himself, and the last end of that person is worse than the first. Look what it says. I'll just read it one more time. Here the demon says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. He goes and takes with him seven other spirits. It's actually eight times worse. More wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. We're in a war. And you can spout any kind of eternal security you want to. If you're being defeated by the devil, this has an eternal consequence to it. You think God is going to let full-blown demonized people into his kingdom to live their eternity? Are you out of your rabid mind? He already had a demon up there called Lucifer. What happened? How'd that go for Lucifer? Back in the old days, onward Christian soldier, marching as to war. I mean, there's no battle cry anymore. There's no trumpet to our mouth that prepares the camp of God for battle. I remember slogans like, we're not building an audience, we're building an army. We're the army of God. Can you imagine? I'd be scared to death to go to army. Or go to war with most folk. Literally scared to death because we're afraid. Fear not. Neither be afraid. Do not be dismayed. I'm with you. Folks, somebody needs to get this in their spirit that the promise of God, that Emmanuel, God is with me. And if God is with me, who could be against me? When you stand your ground in a fearless way, it's amazing what it does to the opposition. When you stand there and won't budge, it's amazing when folks see no fear, what happens. It's amazing when devils can detect no fear. When in boldness, you just make yourself, you don't have to be loud, you don't have to make noise. It's just fun. I like to be loud. I like to make noise. Woo! Let them rebel yell. Talking tongues real loud. That'd put most folks to flight right off the bat. Just talking tongues. What did he just say? We don't know. Let's run. That's some scary stuff he's doing over there. It's time to dress for battle, folks. You're in a war whether you like it or not. And I think we should go on the offensive. Now, let me put it here. Let's get back to the thing, and I'll just finish up this teaching. We'll go back to Ephesians 6, and we're going to finish it up. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Folks, we need to begin to pray in a warfare manner. Warfare prayer, most folks don't understand it. Warfare praying is, I mean, y'all, it's not just mild, mealy-mouthed praying. When you enter the arena of prayer and the warring prayer, folks, this is, I like what old Dick Simmons used to tell me. He said, Terry, you need to pray in the high octaves of the Spirit. He didn't know to call me Terry. He just said, yeah, Terry. I didn't ever correct him. I just listened. He little bitty fella. And when he prayed, you'd swear the armies of God were in prayer. Bloody Mary, Queen of Scotland, said, I fear John Knox's prayers more than all the armies of England. When we get a praying man or a praying woman, Charles Finney said, when Father Nash goes ahead and prays, I know we'll have a revival. He'll prepare the whole city. Where's the kind of warring prayer? The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous man. The praying in the Spirit, where we begin to pull down principalities and powers and mights and dominions, where we, the church, make known to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. When we make the declaration and begin to pull these strongholds down, when the heavens become brass and the church begins to pound away until the heavens release, and we see our cities freed up and the gospel become effective. Daniel began to pray. He said, Daniel, I heard you the first day you prayed. It's 21 days later. He'd been fasting for 21 days. He said, but the prince of Persia withstood me. A demonic entity in the heavenlies withstood the answer to his prayer. Some of us are quitting too soon. We're giving up too easy. Oh, it's time to pray in a warring manner. Old Dick Simmons, I'll reference him again. He said, yeah, Terry, praying in tongues are the smart bombs of God. That was back in Desert Storm days. And the smart bombs would go right where it needed to go. I mean, they just would, boom, bow, dead terrorists. We need to pray. Tongues are the smart bombs of God. When we begin to pray in the Spirit, you see, some people say, well, nobody's interpreting. You should never pray in tongues because nobody. I'm not talking to you. The Bible says when I pray in a spirit, I'm not talking to men, but I'm talking to God. And I can't mess it up. Neither can the devil. You know what's wrong with us? We tell the devil what we're going to do, and he's right there waiting on us when we get there. It's a political move. We're going to bomb them on Thursday at 10 o'clock. And we bomb an empty building. How did they know? Well, you announced it a week earlier. But when we begin to pray in the Spirit, we pray and the Spirit prays, but our understanding is unfruitful and we get through into the things of God. Oh, praying always with all prayer and supplication, we give up too easy in prayer. See, this is where he said, neither to be dismayed. We don't need a faint. We need to pray and not faint, the faint-hearted. This is not for sissies. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see, when we begin to pray like this, and we pray the heavenlies down, and then pray for the preachers who have an anointing, who will preach boldly and will begin to preach effectively, and we'll see that the word will not come back void, but it will accomplish what we sent it to do. And it ain't going to just send them to hell. It's going to bring them to heaven. It'll bring deliverance and salvation and healing. We need some warriors to wake up. John Wesley said, give me 100 men who fear only God and hate sin, and I'll change this world. Wow. Come on. It don't take many. It don't take a lot. It don't take a mega church. It don't take a whole bunch of people. I think 7 or 8 little old feeble people prayed in the Welch revival. Well, not the Welch, which revival was it? Duncan Campbell and their bunch. A small bunch. Just don't take many. Just get right with God and begin to pray like your heart's on fire. Pray like you hate the devil and you're mad at him. Pray like he's in our way and he got to move. Pray with fearless praying. God bless you. Let's get to the battle. Put the trumpets. This is the trumpet. This is me blowing the trumpet. I put the trumpet to my lips and say, wake up. Get battle ready. Let's get to it. God bless.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.